Voyager to shuttlecraft Drake. Prepare for emergency transport. Mr. Kim, can you hear me? We're attempting to lock onto you. Harry?
Harry? Hey, it's time to wake up.
Harry awakes and looks startled.
What's wrong?
Harry looks puzzled.
Libby.
Yes?
Harry raises his head and, looking out of the window, sees the San Francisco skyline with the Golden Gate Bridge bathed in the sunlight of a beautiful Earth day. His eyes widen and his jaw drops open. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager. Based on Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, this episode is entitled Non Sequitur, voiced by Roland Bean. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas. Its flat, oval bow, raised above and forward of the cylindrical body, to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow, surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet, streaked with clouds, turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets, in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun, eclipsed by a satellite moon, is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing. Harry still can't seem to believe what he is seeing.
This can't be happening.
What's wrong with you?
He touches her face uncertainly.
Libby, it's really you, isn't it?
Come on. You're gonna be late.
What?
You have a meeting. 0900, remember? You've only been obsessing about it for a week. I don't want Lieutenant Laska blaming me because you weren't on time for the biggest meeting of your career. Now get dressed. And I'll make you some breakfast.
Harry emerges from the bathroom in his neatly pressed Starfleet uniform.
Come on, the eggs are getting cold. What's with you today?
The date. What's the date?
The date?
What day is today?
49011.
So this isn't the past, it's the present. San Francisco. This can't be a dream. It's too real. It's too clear. So what does that leave? A holodeck? Hallucination? Some kind of trick? The last thing I remember was piloting a shuttlecraft on my way back to Voyager.
We both have a long day ahead of us. Could we play this little game another time, please?
No. You can't be Libby. It's not possible. My name is Ensign Harry Kim of the Federation Starship Voyager. Where am I? Is this some sort of simulation?
That's not funny, Harry, talking about Voyager like that. The memorial service was only 2 months ago. Danny was your best friend. How could you joke about it?
Danny? Danny Bird?
I'm done with this conversation. Go to work. I'll see you tonight.
With a toss of her dark curls, Libby strides out, leaving the confused Harry staring at the breakfast bar.
What is going on?
Stepping out into the street, Harry looks around him at the neat shop fronts, the apartments above them, and the people going about their daily lives. He looks around in amazement, as if unable to take in what he is seeing. The neighborhood he recognizes so well, and the people emerging from the subway, and the neat green shrubs in their planters on the sidewalk.
right up.
Harry tries to smile as he crosses the street toward the middle-aged man, offering him a cup of coffee on a tray.
Here you go. Vulcan mocha extra sweet.
Thanks.
So, today's the big day, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the meeting. The new ship you're designing. And don't forget, you promised to bring me a model. And I'm going to hang it right there in my window. And I'll tell everyone, Harry Kim, he designed that ship. He came into my shop every morning.
Look, I know this is going to sound a little funny, but how long have I been coming to this coffee shop?
How long? Well, let's see. Since you left the academy, how is that? Eight months.
8 months? And you've seen me every day?
Not every day. You like to sleep late on Sunday. But if I had your fiancé, I'd sleep late too.
Fiancé? We're getting married?
Ah, yes. There were many mornings I woke up, I said the same thing to myself when I was about to be married. But don't worry, it'll pass.
I don't think you've ever had a morning quite like this one.
Hey, Harry, you ready to go?
Where?
It's very funny, come on. We better get moving if we're gonna catch the transport to headquarters.
I'm not sure I can go. I'm not feeling very well. Maybe I should just go home.
Come on. Come on. It's just a case of the jitters. You'll do just fine.
They head for the subway. Somewhere in the large white buildings of Starfleet headquarters, high-ranking officers are waiting to start the meeting with Harry and Lieutenant Lasker. Harry shifts nervously in his chair.
Relax, Harry. If all goes well, you'll walk out of this room, a lieutenant. Let me see that warp coil schematic.
The what?
The coil diagram. The one with the new plasma flow equations.
I forgot to bring it.
Forgot? Harry, we need that diagram to show that we worked out the dilithium fracture problem.
I'm sorry.
Well, we'll just have to improvise.
Good morning. I have a meeting at 1100 hours with the head of Starfleet Security. She doesn't like to be kept waiting. Let's get this underway, Lieutenant Lasker.
Thank you, Admiral.
Lasker walks to a presentation screen on the wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at the new runabout Yellowstone. It's equipped with Tetrion plasma warp nacelles and designed for a variety of mission profiles.
Yes, Lieutenant, I've looked over your specifications. It's an interesting design. But how do you propose to address the dilithium fracture problem? Tetrion plasma tends to disrupt subspace.
I'm actually glad you asked that question, sir. We've been working on the problem for several weeks, and I think you'll see that we have found an answer. I'd like to introduce you to the engineer who designed these new warp engines, and I might add he is the most promising young engineer to come out of the academy in a long time. Ensign Harry Kim.
Harry sits stiffly in his chair. He looks absolutely at a loss.
Harry.
Is there a problem, Ensign?
Actually, sir, there is.
Come on, Harry, pull it together. We've been waiting for this for 6 months.
Ensign, are you ill?
Yes, sir. I'm very ill. I would like to continue this presentation at a later date.
Well, unfortunately, Ensign, I'm leaving for a 3-week tour of the Cardassian border in a few days. It will have to wait until after then.
Lasker glares at Harry.
Harry, you better be dying.
Lasker stalks out. During his office, Harry looks in wonder at the certificates on the wall and at the intricate spacecraft design on the main console in the middle of the room.
I'm pretty good.
Moving to the desk, Harry stares for a moment at the photograph of himself with the beautiful dark-haired Libby before turning his attention to the computer console.
Computer, display my service record. Graduated Starfleet Academy, stardate 47918. Requested duty on USS Voyager. Request denied. Requested transfer to Starfleet Engineering Corps. Transfer approved. Starship Design Specialist, awarded the Cochrane Medal of Excellence for outstanding advances in warp theory. Computer? Access Starfleet Science Academy database. Have there been any temporal anomalies in the space-time continuum reported in the last 48 hours?
Negative. No temporal anomalies have been reported.
Computer, has there been any contact with the Starship Voyager since it was lost in the Badlands?
Information on USS Voyager is classified. Security clearance level 3 or above is required to access files.
No problem. It's my ship, or at least I thought it was.
Security authorization accepted. Last recorded contact with USS Voyager prior to its disappearance was on stardate 48307.5.
Access Voyager crew manifest. Who is the operations officer on board?
Ensign Daniel Byrd.
Harry's features freeze on hearing the name.
Danny.
Back on the street in his neighborhood, Harry stands in the road, looking around as if trying to find or remember something. He walks toward the coffee shop.
Harry! What are you doing back so early?
Oh, hi. I wasn't feeling too well, so I decided to come home.
Oh, you don't look sick to me. Coming home for a little visit with Libby, are we? To be young. Don't worry. I'll keep your secret.
Thanks. Listen, I know this is going to sound strange, but I forgot to look at the street number when I left this morning, and I don't remember which building I live in. Could you...
tell you where you live? You're not playing some kind of a prank on your old pal Cosimo, are you?
No, like I said, I haven't been feeling well, and everything's kind of foggy.
Okay. Well, you live right over there. Fourth floor, apartment 4G.
Thanks.
Harry, don't look so concerned. Everything's going to work out. You have a wonderful job, a beautiful fiancé. Everything's going to be fine. Trust me.
Harry does not look convinced as he walks away. He steps tentatively into the apartment. Sun is streaming through the large, sloped skylight window.
Hello, who's there?
It's just me, Libby.
Harry? Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm fine.
You feel a little warm. God, you're tense. Why don't you tell me what happened today?
Nothing. Everything. I'm not sure what happened.
But Harry, forget about work. Try to relax. You're home now. What can I do to help?
Just tell me you love me.
I tell you that every day. Aren't you getting sick of hearing it?
No. In fact, pretend I haven't heard you say it in a long time. Pretend that we haven't seen each other for months.
Okay. I love you, Harry. Welcome home. So, if we haven't seen each other for months, where have you been?
Oh, on a starship, thousands of light years away.
A mission?
Yeah. We got a little lost.
Aww. Sounds lonely.
You can't imagine.
Tell me something. You didn't stop at Ryza along the way, did you?
No. No pleasure planet excursions, I'm afraid.
You thought about me the whole time.
Every day. Every nanosecond.
Do me a favor. Don't ever leave me again.
She leans forwards and they kiss passionately. Later, as night falls, enveloping the shimmering buildings and the Golden Gate Bridge, Harry and Libby lie in bed. Harry is awake. Gently, so as not to wake her, he slips from between the sheets and stands looking out of the window at the city. He turns back to the apartment and begins to look around. He smiles as he sees a clarinet on its stand in the corner. He picks it up and practices some fingerings. He places the clarinet gently back on its stand and walks towards the computer console, which he switches on. Names of the Voyager crew manifest scroll down the screen.
Orlando, Parsons, Peterson, Platt, Porter. Wait a minute. Paris, where's Tom Paris? Computer access service record of Starfleet officer Thomas Eugene Paris. Convicted of treason, sentenced to 18 months at the New Zealand penal settlement. Paroled on stardate 48702. Last reported whereabouts, Marseille, France.
Harry? It's 4 a.m. What are you doing?
Oh, I couldn't sleep. So I thought I'd catch up on some work.
When are you gonna tell me what's going on?
There's nothing going on, okay?
You're not a very good liar, Harry. You've been acting strange all day. And I'm not the only one who's worried about you. Lieutenant Laska called this afternoon. He said he's never seen you so agitated, so don't tell me there's nothing going on.
Libby, it's hard to explain right now. And I do want to tell you, but I need you to trust me.
I do trust you. I love you. That's why I'm marrying you. I would hope you would have the same trust in me.
All right. This is going to sound a little crazy from your perspective, but I am not who you think I am.
Oh?
All of this, it's not supposed to be happening. I don't belong here.
If you're having second thoughts about getting married, why didn't you just say so?
You don't understand. What I'm trying to say is, I'm from another reality.
Another reality?
That's right.
Harry, you're starting to scare me.
I know. I'm scared too.
Maybe you should talk to a counselor, a neurologist. There may be something wrong with you.
I will. But there's someone else I need to see first.
Where are you going?
Marseille, France.
What for?
I've got to see Paris.
But you just said you were going to Marseille.
It's a long story. Trust me, okay?
Okay.
Harry leaves Libby standing looking worried and hurt. It is nighttime in Marseille as Harry walks into the real Sandrine's bar, and he recognizes so well from the holodeck. He leans against the pool table with a smile on his face.
Hey, watch it, will ya? Trying to set up a shot here.
Tom.
Who the hell are you?
You don't know me, do you?
Sure. We were at the academy together, right?
No.
Oh.
Well, it must have been the Exeter.
We served on the Exeter together?
Try Voyager. Ah, Voyager.
Well, sorry to disappoint you, but I never set foot on that ship.
I can't say that I'm sorry, considering what happened to it.
You know about the mission to the Badlands?
Oh, yeah. Captain Janeway asked if I'd help her track down that Maquis ship in exchange for an early release from the penal colony.
But you said no?
Are you kidding? I said yes. Sounded better than Starfleet rehab. Anyway, I got as far as Deep Space Nine, where I got into a bar fight with a Ferengi, and I was thrown into the brig by a very unpleasant shapeshifter. Janeway tried to get me released, but my parole was revoked by Starfleet Command. Voyager left without me.
That Ferengi, was he trying to sell you low-buy crystals?
Yeah. How do you know about that?
Because I was there. In my reality, anyway. Tom, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I was on Voyager, and so were you. You never got into a bar fight with that Ferengi. You stopped him from selling me low-buy crystals. And you did lead us into the Badlands.
You're right. That does sound crazy.
Something's happened. Somehow, reality has been changed. A temporal anomaly, an alien influence, I can't explain how. All I know is that it's true. I was in a shuttlecraft, heading back to Voyager. And then I woke up here, on Earth.
What is it you want?
Come with me to Starfleet headquarters. Help me run a computer simulation of what happened on that shuttle. You're the best pilot I've ever seen. And if anyone can figure it out, it's you.
You had me there for a minute. You really did. But then you blew it.
What are you talking about?
You're not getting me to set foot inside Starfleet headquarters. So you tell whatever admiral or captain who sent you that I'm not interested in being another pawn in one of their games.
It's not a game.
Oh, it isn't? Oh, that's a shame. I like games.
You once told me that you used to treat life like one big game. Rules, players, winners, losers. You never took any of it seriously until you lost.
You know, you're starting to annoy me.
You also told me you were afraid of what would happen to you if you didn't take Captain Janeway up on her offer. And now I see why.
What do you see, Ensign?
A loser? Drunk.
Paris launches a blow which Harry sidesteps, grabbing Paris and holding him down over the pool table.
I guess in this reality, that's all you'll ever be.
Paris picks himself up and walks back to the bar to order another drink. A stranger at the bar wearing a beret narrows his eyes as he watches Harry leave. Harry arrives back in San Francisco to find armed Starfleet security waiting at his apartment.
What's going on?
Harry, just relax.
Why does everyone say relax when they're about to do something terrible?
Starfleet knows what you've been doing.
Which is what exactly?
Breaking into classified files, using Fort security access codes.
I haven't forged anything. And I can't explain.
That's why we're here. We're going to take you back to Starfleet headquarters. They want to ask you a few questions.
Harry, please, just go with them. Tell them what you told me. Everything will be all right.
I don't think I have a choice at the moment. I'll see you later.
Grim-faced, Harry exits with the two security officers, followed by Lasker. Libby can only stand by helplessly.
You claim to have Voyager security protocols because you were an officer on Voyager.
Yes, sir.
Lost in the Delta Quadrant.
Yes, sir.
And Ensign Daniel Byrd, you say that he's taking your place on that ship?
Yes, sir.
And this is all because reality has been changed somehow?
Yes, sir.
But you don't have a single shred of evidence to back up your claims.
Harry, I don't doubt for a minute that you believe you're telling the truth. But we have to consider all the possibilities.
Like what?
Like you could be delusional, or you could have had your memory centers altered so that you think what you're saying is the truth. Or you could be an alien masquerading as Harry Kim.
It's crazy. I am Harry Kim. Check my DNA if you don't believe me. Run a microcellular scan of my cerebral cortex to see if my memory's been altered. Everything I'm saying is true.
Mr. Kim, why did you travel to Marseille, France this morning?
I went to look up an old friend.
You have poor taste in friends. Thomas Paris is a convicted traitor and a Marquis sympathizer. Now, what did you talk about with him?
I tried to tell him what's happened. I wanted his help.
His help? To run a shuttle simulation. Why?
To figure out how I got here and how I can get back. There must be a temporal anomaly somewhere, or... You think I'm a spy, don't you? You think I'm working for the Marquis?
We're here to find the truth, Ensign, whatever that might be.
That's it. I'm not answering any more questions until I have legal counsel.
You have that right.
Harry, we want to help you, but try to understand. What you were telling us doesn't make much sense. All we know so far is that you have been seen talking with a Maquis criminal, and you've broken into classified Starfleet records. Until there is something else, something concrete, those are the facts in this case. And you have to admit, the facts look pretty bad.
We will be monitoring your movements until further notice. I believe you know the restrictions, no off-world travel. And if you tamper with the anklet, security will be immediately alerted and you will be formally charged. Do you understand?
Yes, Admiral.
We'll be spending a lot of time together, Ensign. And I assure you, we will get to the bottom of this. You're dismissed.
Walking down the tree-lined street in his neighborhood with the tracer anklet on his right leg, Harry looks angry and frustrated. He fails to notice as Cosimo approaches him.
Troubles, Harry?
You could say that.
Let's have some coffee. I was sent here to watch you, to make sure that you were all right. But now it's clear that you're not.
Who are you?
We exist in what you would call a temporal inversion fold in the space-time matrix. That's not necessary to understand. It only matters that there was an accident. Your shuttle intersected one of our time streams and... boom! A few things were altered as the result of the accident. History and events were scrambled a bit, and you ended up here.
Well, you've got to get me back.
We don't know how.
What?
We only know that an accident occurred. We don't know how or why.
Well, that's not good enough. There's got to be something we can do. Where is this time stream of yours? Maybe I can use it to get back.
A time stream weaves through the galaxy like a thread. I could show you how to find it, and you could try to recreate the conditions that existed before the accident and fly back into it, but there's no guarantee what will happen to you if you do.
What do you mean?
Well, you may be able to change reality again, but there's no way to predict how it would change. You could end up at any point in the space-time continuum. You might return to your original reality, or you might find yourself a billion years in the future, or at some time before sentient life even existed on your planet.
I guess I'll have to take that chance. Because somehow, I have to get back.
Are you so sure?
This is a pretty good place for you, Harry. You have a wonderful job with Starfleet, a beautiful woman who loves you. Why be so quick to turn your back on all this? Maybe this is your fate? Isn't that the word your people use? That thing which was meant to be? Seems to me you're actually a very lucky man.
What about Danny Bird? He isn't so lucky. And Tom Paris? Fate wasn't so kind to him. No. It isn't supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to be on Voyager, in the Delta Quadrant. And that's where I have to go.
Very well.
Cosimo hands Harry a small disc.
This will tell you where the time stream intersects this region of space. That's as much as I can do for you.
Thanks.
Good luck, Harikema Voyager. You're going to need it.
Unless, of course, you decide to stay. In which case, I'll see you in the morning, same time. Vulcan mocha, extra sweet.
Harry clasps the small disc, hoping desperately that it will help. Back at the apartment, he is working at the anklet on his right leg with some fine, sophisticated tools.
Libby, I didn't hear you come in.
Obviously. You're in enough trouble as it is. What do you want them to do, put you in prison?
No. I'm just trying to get back to where I belong.
Where you belong? You used to say you belonged here with me. But I guess everything's changed, hasn't it?
Look. I know the last few days must have been pretty tough on you.
Do you? Do you really know what it's like when the person you love suddenly changes?
It's still me. The guy who was in your seat at the Kateri Music Festival. The guy who took 3 weeks to work up the courage to ask you out. The guy who still wakes up in the middle of the night and says your name out loud, hoping you'll answer back.
But if you're really Harry, you wouldn't be trying so hard to get away from me.
I'm not trying to get away from you. And I promise you, I want to stay here more than anything. But I can't.
I don't understand. I don't understand any of this.
I don't think anybody knows me as well as you do. So you of all people should know that once I've made up my mind about something, I can't let it go. In some ways, it'd be a lot easier to forget about Voyager. Just settle in here and build a life. But that wouldn't be me. You wouldn't be getting the Harry Kim you fell in love with. Does that make any sense? The tampering alarm. Security will be here any second. Better go. I promise you, I'm gonna try to get back. It may take a while, and I may not make it, but I swear I will try.
Two security officers materialize in the apartment. Harry makes a break for the window. Libby slams the window shut after him, blocking the security guard's path.
Sorry.
Outside, Harry scrambles down the steep iron steps of the fire escape. He narrowly escapes capture as one of the security officers dives at him out of the window of another apartment. Desperate to get away, he starts to climb another section of ladder and is grabbed by one of the officers, whom he fells with a blow from his elbow. He reaches the final section of ladder, which slides down to the ground, and Harry makes off at a run down the street. The second security officer is in hot pursuit. Harry is sprinting flat out, having to dodge other pedestrians. He looks behind him as he runs and sees that the security officer is gaining. He rounds a corner and is finally tackled to the ground.
Excuse me.
There goes my bank shot. What are you doing here?
Helping out a friend. Let's go.
Tom and Harry slip away as a crowd gathers around the unconscious officer.
So how did you find me?
I still have a few friends at Starfleet. They told me you were in some serious trouble.
Yeah, Starfleet thinks I'm a Maquis spy.
I know the feeling. Those security anklets really chafe, don't they?
You're the last person I expected to help me.
Let's just say it's been a long time since anybody gave a damn about my future, including me. I don't know if I'm supposed to be on Voyager like you've told me, but it sounds a whole lot better than the life I have here. I'm willing to take my chances, Ensign.
Call me Harry. You always did.
Won't be long before they find us. We better keep moving.
Wait. I found a way to get back to my reality. The problem is I'll need a ship to do it. I think I have access to a runabout, but I'm going to have to break it out of space dock.
Sounds to me like you need a pilot.
Know anyone who's qualified?
I know someone who used to be pretty good, and if I'm not mistaken, he still knows a few tricks.
I have an office at Starfleet headquarters. I think we can access the runabout launch codes from there.
Site-to-site transporter. With friends like mine, you never know when it'll come in handy. Where's your office?
Main complex. Level 6, subsection 47.
I can beam us in, but we'll only have a few minutes before security starts kicking down the door.
Let's do it.
The pair materialize in Harry's office.
So, Harry, once we're on board the runabout, what's the plan?
The alien said that if I recreate the conditions of the accident and fly into the time stream, there's a chance I might be able to get back into my reality.
Might?
He couldn't give me any guarantees.
Security's just been alerted to an unauthorized transport in the building. It'll take them another 20 seconds to track it to this office. How are you coming?
Almost there. I've bypassed the runabout security lockouts.
They're on to us. We've got to go.
Hold on, I've almost got it.
Now!
Security come in firing, but Tom and Harry have already transported.
Overriding initialization codes. Main power coming online.
Let's get those engines going.
Powering up main fusion reactor.
Intruder alert. Unauthorized launch in progress.
Space doors closing.
Warp core and main propulsion are online.
Releasing docking clamps. Moorings cleared. Here we go.
The small twin-engine shuttle just manages to slip through as the mighty steel space doors close.
We're clear.
I'm entering the coordinates of the time stream into the main computer.
Adjusting course to match. Going to full impulse.
We've got a starship on our tail. Nebula class.
I'll try to lose them, Harry, but they're a lot faster than we are.
Attention, runabout Yellowstone. Power down your engines, or we will open fire.
They're gonna try to do everything they can to stop us. They think we're trying to steal this prototype.
They're closing to 5,000 kilometers.
The huge starship closes, phasers firing.
Shields down to 70%. 50%. 29%!
I thought you said this ship was new and improved!
It is, but it looks like they haven't finished working on the defensive systems. In fact, some of the safety interlocks aren't even in place. A few more of those hits and I don't... We're losing antimatter containment. Attempting to stabilize the field.
We're approaching the coordinates of the time stream.
The containment field is weakening. We could be looking at a core breach.
The ship's closing to 3,000 kilometers.
If we can't shake them off, maybe we can slow them down a little. This runabout is equipped with Tetrion Plasma Warp Nacelles.
So?
Tetrion Plasma emits multi-flux gamma radiation. It disrupts subspace.
We could vent the warp plasma. The second they hit the plasma cloud, their engines would stall. Give us a few seconds of breathing room.
Exactly.
Unlocking the warp drive manifold.
Venting drive plasma.
Any second. They've dropped to 1/10 impulse.
The ship shakes violently.
Our containment field's at critical. We'd better hurry.
All right, let's recreate my shuttle accident. I think I was traveling at 140,000 kph.
You think?
Look, that was another lifetime. I'm doing the best I can.
Increasing speed to 140,000 kph.
Now, I also remember running a Polaron scan. The scanning beam was sweeping at a radius of 500,000 kilometers. No, wait, 250,000. Activating Polaron scan. That should do it.
Approaching coordinates. Impact in 4, 3, 2.
Did we miss it?
We passed through the coordinates, but the runabout was unaffected. The starship has repowered its engines. They'll be here in under a minute.
I have to get into that time stream. Wait a minute. I'm forgetting something. The emergency transport. The last thing I remember hearing was Captain Janeway's comm voice. She said she was trying to beam me off the shuttle. That's it. I've got to beam off the ship.
Are you crazy?
We have to recreate all the conditions of the accident, including that one. We just lost antimatter containment. 25 seconds to core breach.
I've locked onto the time stream.
Get on the transporter pad. Not yet. The core is breaching. We've got to shut it down first.
There's no time. That ship will be here in another 30 seconds.
In 15 seconds, this ship is going to explode. You'll be killed.
Look, if you're right, then things will be changed back to the way they're supposed to be. And you'll find me back on Voyager.
And if I'm wrong, if this doesn't work, you'll be blown up right here.
Go!
Paris hauls Harry onto the transporter pad moments before the Yellowstone disintegrates.
Voyager to shuttlecraft break. Prepare for emergency transport. Mr. Kim, can you hear me? We're attempting to lock onto you. Harry?
Kim here, Captain.
Harry, we need you to drop your shields.
Stand by.
Shields down, Captain.
Lieutenant,
the anomaly is sending out heavy subspace distortions. I can't get a positive lock on him.
The hull is starting to buckle under the stress. He won't survive much longer.
Tuvok, can you boost the transporter signal?
Negative. The signal is at maximum gain.
10 seconds to hull breach.
He's just out of reach. Valana, can you tie the transporter directly into the main deflector dish? Use it to extend the signal.
I'll try.
Hull breach in progress.
We've got him, Captain.
Mr. Chakotay, analyze the sensor logs. I want to know what happened out there.
Aye, Captain.
Voyager to transporter room 2. Are you all right, Mr. Kim?
I think so, Captain. Is Lieutenant Paris there?
Yes, he's here. Why?
It's a long story.
I look forward to hearing it. I'll be in my ready room.
Safely back aboard Voyager, Harry heads for the bridge.
We think your shuttlecraft was caught in some kind of temporal anomaly.
A time stream?
Yes, you could call it that.
I've already been briefed, Commander.
Welcome back. Kind of a rough ride, huh?
What is it, Harry?
I owe you one.
Tom raises his eyebrows and looks baffled as Harry pats him affectionately on the shoulder. He settles back down to his job, piloting Voyager through the stars. The end.